Today, beyond speculation, is a new order approaching? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, well, that is Post, covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Markets are telling us something very important as we career into the end of the year. The old order, structurally in favour of those who sold, bought, traded, and owned claims on paper, is being subsumed by the new, a world in favour of those who own real things, unleveraged by debt. As Jonathan Shapiro wrote in the AFR this week, financial markets are becoming one big gamble, catalyzed by leading global retail brokers, leading to a rise in prediction markets and the inevitable fusion with financial markets that in turn is making just about everything and anything into speculation. This, of course, leads to the volatility we've seen in markets as the debt for growth regime is, well, falling apart. While the Fed this week was up to its usual tricks, manipulating treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities out of its rear in service to yet another QE of some kind to come, at best, we will have a 1970s-style inflation problem where paper assets stagger forward with relatively poor returns, while real assets, including many important commodities, led by silver perhaps after gold led the whole process beginning in 2021, greatly outperform. Silver futures were last at more than $62 US, and gold was at $4,329, both touching all-time highs. The global MSCI index was down 0.63% on Friday, along with the European Stoxx 600, which fell 0.53%, and both were down for the week, while the MSCI All Asia Pacific ex-Japan was flat. But in contrast, the ASX 200 index advanced 1.2%, taking the total gain for the week to 0.6%. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closed down more than 1% on Friday, with investors leading technology for other sectors as Broadcom and Oracle fueled concerns about the AI bubble, and rising US Treasury yields added pressure after some policymakers spoke out against easing monetary policy. The NASDAQ composite fell 1.69% to 23,195, while the S&P 500 lost 1.07%. And so for the week, the S&P 500 fell 0.63%, while the NASDAQ climbed 1.62%. The Dow fell 0.51% on the day and managed to show a weekly gain of 1.05%, again signalling that important pivot from AI. But it didn't help that the S&P 500 and the Dow had notched record closing highs on Thursday, and that investors were looking ahead to the Labour Department's report on non-farm payrolls, consumer inflation, and retail sales data due next week, especially in the light of Chair Powell's warnings that the data may be understating the true state of labour market job losses. Treasury yields rose after a group of Federal Reserve officials who voted against the central bank's interest rate cuts this week voiced worries that inflation remains too high to warrant lower borrowing costs. Investors, though, were optimistic about further US interest rate cuts in 2026 after the Fed cut by 25 basis points on Wednesday in a 9-3 decision, even though policymakers signalled that it will put further reductions on pause for now. Policymakers expressed concerns about a cooling labour market as well as inflation that remains too high. 10-year yield was at 4.188%, while the 2-year stood at 3.524%, and the 30-year was at 4.847% in a classic steepening. In passing, we should note that the Bank of England is expected to cut rates next Thursday. The European Central Bank is expected to keep them steady, though traders are now speculating it could hike rates in 2026. And the Bank of Japan is expected to hike rates after strong signals from its governor. Earlier, German government bond yields rose after hitting their highest level since March this week, underscoring how investors have begun pricing in Eurozone rate hikes. The divergence comes as traders still broadly expect US rates to fall in the long term, despite Friday's jump in yields. Germany's 30-year yield, which is more sensitive to long-term fiscal concerns, climbed to a fresh 14-year high of 3.494%. Now, some see the Fed's dovish tilt reinforcing confidence that policy will act as a backstop against sharp slowdowns, encouraging reallocation towards regions and sectors that lagged during the US-centric tech rally. Though below the hood, there are pressures in financial markets. Just look at leverage, for example, or broader deliberate currency debasement. Many analysts' base case is that equities can grind higher as long as inflation continues to cool and rate expectations remain anchored. But the risk scenario is that renewed weakness in US technology leadership spills over more broadly, especially if incoming data challenges the Fed's ability to stay dovish. US jobless claims data on Thursday, by the way, show the number of Americans filing new applications for unemployment benefit increased by the most in nearly 4.5 years last week. Near term, markets will focus on upcoming US inflation readings and global bond market reactions, which will determine whether this rally broadens further or stalls at current highs. Looking at specific names, Broadcom shares tumbled 11.4% after the chipmaker warned of slimmer future margins, causing renewed concerns about the profitability of surging AI investments as some analysts raise questions over Broadcom's biggest customers sourcing AI data center chips on their own, a move the company said at least two clients were considering. Oracle fell 4.5% on top of Thursday's almost 11% plunge following the cloud software company's weak financial forecast. Oracle shares were under pressure on Friday, even after it denied a Bloomberg report that its data center for ChatGPT maker OpenAI were being delayed. Investors have also dumped Oracle bonds on worries about its debt-fueled AI build-out while piling into credit default swaps, which offer bondholders a hedge against default. CDSs for the company, which are around $100 billion worth of debt, rose by nearly 12 basis points on Thursday to at least 5-year highs. Big tech's rising appetite for debt, by the way, including bond sales of more than $30 billion by Meta and $15 billion from Amazon, have marked a departure for the companies that long depended on strong cash flows to fund spending on new initiatives. Other companies that have benefited from AI bets went into reverse on Friday too, including SanDisk, which fell 14.7%. And that was, by the way, the S&P 500's biggest percentage decliner. Investors also fled AI infrastructure companies like CoreWeave off 10.1% and Oklo losing 15.1%. NVIDIA, the daddy of the AI chip boom, was down to $125.02. Costco wholesale shares, though, ended the day virtually unchanged, even after it beat Wall Street estimates for first quarter revenue and profit, as consumers snapped up affordable essentials and nice-to-have items at its stores ahead of the crucial holiday season. The US dollar drifted higher against major currencies, also after falling in recent sessions, but we still saw its third straight weekly drop amid the prospects of interest rate cuts by the Fed next year. Sterling eased after it showed the UK economy unexpectedly shrank in the 3 months to October, and the pound edged down 0.2% against the dollar to 1.3371, but not far from a seven-week peak that hit on Thursday. Against the yen, the dollar rose 0.2% to 155.83 ahead of next week's Bank of Japan's meeting, where the broad expectation is for a rate hike, while the euro was flat at 1.1740 after hitting a more than two-month high on Thursday. Copper plunged by more than 3% after hitting a record high earlier in the session, as renewed fears of the AI bubble bursting sparked a broad sell-off of riskier assets. Oil prices closed lower and posted a 4% weekly decline as a supply glut and possible Russia-Ukraine peace deals outweighed fears about the impact from the US seizure of an oil tanker near Venezuela. US crude fell to settle at $57.53 a barrel, and Brent fell to settle at $61.22. With investors still pricing in at least 50 basis points of monetary easing next year, on expectations that US President Donald Trump's appointee to the Fed chair will likely be a policy dove, BCA Research expects 2026 to be a constructive year of equities in the new outlook. The firm says monetary easing, fiscal support, Gen AI-related capex, and strong earnings growth are unequivocally positive for stocks, but stresses that valuations are extended and concerns over a bubble are, quote, overstated. But despite the somewhat dovish Fed cut on Wednesday, interest rates are moving higher. Part of this is the growing conclusion that a January Fed rate cut is unlikely, with the bet now below 25%. That's consistent with the Fed's wait-and-see stance. Higher long-term rates will restrain price earnings multiples, put pressure on the higher leverage small cap companies, and hit real estate directly. The US dollar index is up only slightly on the latest rates. European stocks closed lower on Friday despite earlier gains, as Wall Street saw a rotation from tech to value names due to fears of AI overvaluations. The DAX index in Germany closed 0.3% lower, the CAC 40 in France fell 0.2%, and the FTSE in the UK declined 0.6%. The UK economy remained in contraction in October, as data released on Friday showed that the country's gross domestic product fell by 0.1%, matching the drop seen during the prior month and below the 0.1% growth that was expected. The uncertainty surrounding the autumn budget, delivered by UK Finance Minister Rachel Reeves in November, likely deterred businesses and consumers alike from making investment decisions, and the earlier hacks in the car industry sector didn't help. The Bank of England will hold its final policy meeting for the year next week, and it's widely expected to cut interest rates by a quarter point to 3.75%, as recent data has shown inflation has drifted a little lower, but it is still well above target, so that is not really that certain. German inflation rose to 2.6% in November, the Federal Statistics Office said on Friday, confirming preliminary data, while consumer prices harmonized to compare with other European Union countries stood at 2.3% year over year in October. The ECB is expected to keep interest rates unchanged next week, with Eurozone inflation roughly in line with the central bank's 2% medium-term target. An improved cyclical outlook, a more favourable structural backdrop, and reasonable valuations could support further upside for Eurozone equities in 2026. That's according to analysts at UBS. In a note to clients, they said that they expect earnings will be the primary driver of regional stock returns next year. They forecast that earnings in European companies will accelerate by 7% in 2026 and 18% in 2027, improving after 3 years of stagnation thanks to strong consumer and business confidence, increasing clarity around global trade ructions, and supportive global monetary and fiscal policy. We continue to like the European industrials, IT, and utilities sectors as beneficiaries of global secular changes linked to artificial intelligence, data centers, rising power demand, the energy transition, and defense spending, the analyst said. The earnings outlook for the banks in the region is also supported by a more upbeat setup for loan growth, as well as fees and ongoing asset repricing, they said. Actually, European stocks outperformed their US counterparts for much of the first 6 months of 2025, as investors reacted to an erratic string of policymaking by President Donald Trump's administration and a once-in-a-generation fiscal change in Germany. However, US equities eventually caught up, fueled in part by waning enthusiasm for Berlin's plans to step away from a long-standing debt break and shell out massive investments on defense and infrastructure, the UBS analyst said. The benchmark S&P 500 has risen by more than 70% so far this year, while the pan-European Stoxx 600 index has climbed to just 14%. Still, the UBS analysts argue that this is an opportune time to add to the region with the positive impulse for growth about to begin. Most Asian stocks rose on Friday, aided by a rebound in technology shares after the sector was rattled by doubts over the AI trade stemming from US cloud major Oracle. On Friday, most Asian markets logged a middling performance for the week, as caution over the Federal Reserve and tech valuations weighed on long positions. Japan's Nikkei 225 jumped 0.8%, while South Korea's Kospi added 0.8% too, with both indices boosted chiefly by gains in tech and industrial shares. Japan's TOPIX index jumped 1.5%, while Hong Kong's tech-heavy Hang Seng index surged 1.4%, brushing off losses in local chip makers. Japanese markets could be jolted next year if the central bank finds itself behind the curve in taming inflation, and it's widely expected to increase its key policy rate next week by a quarter percentage point to 0.75%. That's still well below an inflation rate that's around 3%. If price growth accelerates in the second half of 2026, the Bank of Japan could be forced into a faster tightening cycle. Japanese government bonds have plunged recently, with 10-year yields reaching an 18-year high of 1.97% last week, driven partly by fiscal concerns surrounding the Prime Minister's stimulus plan. The yield could potentially rise to as much as 2% or even 3%, which would be a significant change. Broader non-Asian tech stocks also advanced, tracking a dovish outlook for the US Fed. The central bank said it would begin buying back $40 billion of treasuries per month, boosting market liquidity levels. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices trimmed initial losses, but still lagged their regional peers on the day. Mainland Chinese markets were pressurized by continued losses in local chipmaking stocks as investors feared more competition from Nvidia. The US chipmaker is set to begin selling more advanced AI chips in China after US President Donald Trump signaled he would approve the move. Major chipmaker Hua Hong Semiconductor slid nearly 9% in Shanghai trade, while More Threads Technology Co., which has been pipped as a potential Chinese competitor to Nvidia, slumped as much as 19%, facing profit-taking after a stellar market debut just last week. Beyond tech, persistent doubts over the Chinese economy weighed on local stocks, especially following underwhelming inflation readings earlier in the week, and a diplomatic row between China and Japan over the latter's comments on Taiwan also showed few signs of easing. India's Nifty 50 index rose 0.4%, with focus squarely on renewed trade talks between New Delhi and Washington. Jefferies expects Indian equities to extend their outperformance against emerging markets in 2026, supported by a pickup in corporate earnings growth and a stabilizing rupee, even as heavy equity supply continues to cap sharp upside. The brokerage set 2026 Nifty targets of around 28,300, that's around 10% higher, and said India's valuation premium to emerging markets has already normalized from last year's extremes. Jefferies expects MSCI India EPS growth to improve from 8-9% in financial year 26 to 13-14% in financial year 27, even after factoring in modest earnings cuts in line with historic trends. Banks, autos, and power companies are likely to drive the acceleration. Banks should benefit as policy rates approach the bottom, they said. Autos and power are set for a rebound from a low base, and possible GST cuts. Cement and telecom could deliver the strongest earnings growth, though, more than 25% across financial year 26 and 27. A milder uptick in inflation next year could also lift nominal revenues and support broader earnings momentum, they said. Domestic equity flows remains a key market anchor, averaging $7 to $8 billion a month across mutual funds, SIPs, insurers, pension funds, AIFs, and direct retail activity. With household savings around $1 trillion annually, Jefferies sees this support persisting. The Australian share market is on its longest winning streak since August, after it rose the most in almost 3 weeks on Friday, driven by strong gains in miners. Traders remained buoyed by the prospect of further US interest rate cuts. The S&P ASX 200 advanced 1.2% to 8,697, taking the total gain for the week to 0.7%. A third consecutive rise up for the index puts it on its best weekly run since August, with 12 sessions left in 2025. The positive momentum followed the Reserve Bank of Australia's decision to hold interest rates at 3.6%, while leaving the door open for further tightening amid a spike in inflation. Actually, Citi brought forward its forecast for the next rate hike to February, the central bank's next meeting. Others disagree, perhaps suggesting a longer hold. On the ASX, materials was the strongest of the eight sectors that rose as spot gold prices spiked to $4,280 US an ounce. Newmont rose 5.7% to $150.06. Genesis Minerals rose 7.6% to $6.90. And Evolution Mining was up 4.2% to $12.76. Moonbo dealing manager Jeremy Tran said that with the US dollar softening on expectations of continued rate cuts in the world's largest economy, sentiment towards gold remains firmly supported. Local gold miners are likely to remain in focus as investors assess the impact of the sustained strength in bullion prices, he said. The major banks also enjoyed strong gains as Westpac rose 1.4% to $30.80. National Australia Bank was up 1.8% to $40.13. And Commonwealth Bank was up 2.1% to $155.96. ANZ rose 1.2% to $35.81 as former boss Shayne Elliott sues the bank after it stripped him of $13.5 million worth in bonuses last month. In company news, Austel fell 3% to $6.26 after Tritogen Chalmers approved Hanwha's bid to increase its holding in the shipbuilding firm from 9.9% to 19.9%, but did set out strict conditions. Centre Group firmed 1% to $4.20 after bringing a new Dexus-managed fund as a joint venture partner for a further 25% stake in Brisbane's Westfield Trimside at $683 million. 4D Medical jumped 8.8% to $2.22 after securing $30.2 million worth in funding for an underwriting agreement with Bell Potter Securities to ensure the exercise of all its listed options. The Aussie was at 66.54 US cents and 49.75 UK pence after the RBA held rates this week, with 10-year and 2-year yields rising. And as I discussed in an earlier show, it looks set to hold the cash rate or even lift it later due to higher inflation and capacity constraints in the economy. Fixed mortgage rates have already landed, which will put more pressure on households, something which I'm already seeing in my surveys. Bitcoin remains in a consolidation pattern as the market digested the FOMC rate decision this week. It's sitting at 90,656 US. Ethereum is also tracking similar moves. Institutional demand for Bitcoin is showing some signs of improving, but only slightly. According to So-So Value data, US Bitcoin ETFs recorded net inflows of $237.44 million in the week through to Thursday. This comes after outflows of $87.7 million the previous week. While net inflows indicate that institutional demand is returning, demand must increase significantly for Bitcoin to sustain any move towards 100,000 US. Should ETF demand continue to fade, Bitcoin will come under more pressure. Corporate Bitcoin adoption has slowed in the fourth quarter. According to the November Bitcoin Corporate Bitcoin Adoption Report, 65% of public companies now hold Bitcoin below their purchase price, facing unrealized losses. November net acquisitions totaled 10,800 Bitcoins, with a few players, including Strategy and Metaplanet, accounting for most of the additions. Quarterly additions are on track for their lowest level in a year, with expectations of 40,000 by the end of December, aligning with accumulation levels seen in the third quarter of 2024. A recovery in corporate acquisitions is needed again to help drive Bitcoin higher. If it doesn't happen, well, Bitcoin could go lower. While corporate acquisitions are weak, miners could lead the next phase of corporate adoption. Miners accounted for 5% of new additions in November and 12% of total public company balances. This comes at a time when the hash price index has been falling since July to a low of $34.80 in November. However, mining difficulty has also eased to 148.2 trillion from 155.97 million. Bitcoin hoarding strategy giant clung to its place in the NASDAQ 100 on Friday, continuing its year-long stint in the benchmark at a time when analysts had raised questions over its business model. Some market watchers suggested Strategy's pioneering business model of buying and holding Bitcoin, which has spawned dozens of copycats, by the way, more closely resembles that of an investment fund. Concerns have grown over the sustainability of crypto treasury companies, whose shares have proved extremely sensitive to Bitcoin's gyrations. Strategy started out as a software company, MicroStrategy, but pivoted to Bitcoin investing in 2020. It was included in the NASDAQ 100 last December under the indices technology subcategory. Global index provider MSCI has also raised concerns over the presence of digital asset treasury companies in its benchmarks. MSCI is due to decide in January whether to exclude Strategy and similar companies. So standing back, while UBS expects global equities to post solid gains over the next 2 years, setting a year-end 2026 price target of 1,090 for the MSCI All Country World Index, which the firm says implies an 11% rise, in its 2026 equity outlook, UBS argued the backdrop for stocks remains supportive, citing artificial intelligence, productivity prospects, and a favorable macro environment. The firm argues that US equities are particularly well suited to outperform if we enter the early stages of a bubble, supported by AI investment, GDP sensitivity to gains, and faster technology adoption. However, as I've suggested, perhaps the old macro, which is structurally in favor of those who sold, bought, traded, and owned claims on paper, is fading, and the new macro is in favor of those who own real things unleveraged by debt. This explains the continued rise in gold as it touches all-time highs again, and silver. While relatively few people in this world conduct transactions in gold or silver, investors are holding it, trading its futures, or wishing they owned it. This is because gold and silver are countermeasures, a defensive means of dealing with the debt-choked modern world, symbolized by the excesses routinely injected into the system over the course of the last few decades. While we remain in an age of speculation, with more and more of the population treating the stock market like a casino, legally betting sports, and making coin in crypto, the sheer beauty and simplicity of all this is that gold is an anchor to stability, and the system is, well, perhaps likely approaching maximum instability, which explains why we're seeing what we're seeing. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.